הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello everybody, this was your host singing in Hebrew, saying we brought peace and joy to you, and let us be happy. So let us be happy today, because I'm especially, especially blessed to have Michelle Beadle with us today. She's from New Orleans. She's a Messianic Jew, as I am. Her story is amazing because her parents, her family, and we'll go into it in depth, were lucky to survive the Holocaust in Germany. And also she lives in New Orleans. She's a member of the Christian Jewish Foundation Ministries, CJF Ministries, and she speaks all around the country, and in fact now she's particularly available for the Los Angeles area. And let me give everybody the email where she might be contacted for speaking engagements. Let me add first, she speaks about our Judeo-Christian roots, and she also teaches everybody the love of God through Yeshua, which is Jesus, and also talks about the Jewish holidays and how they are related to the Christians. In other words, really giving biblical information to all who know God in their lives or should. To contact Michelle, her email is Michelle, that's M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, B like boy, at CJF, I think it's M.org. And let me repeat it. If I'm incorrect, Michelle will correct me. It's Michelle B at CJFM.org, or her phone number is 1-800-497-8766. That's 1-800-497-8766. Let me also add that call-ins are welcome. Anybody needs prayer or has questions, you may call us at on the show at 1-888-627-6008. And again, that's 1-888-627-6008. Let me also add that Michelle came from a Reformed Jewish home, and we'll have to talk about that, and met her husband in New Orleans. He got saved through Billy Graham's movie For Pete's Sake, and I'm not sure which part of the family, but they established the first Messianic congregation in New Orleans. She also holds a group in her home once a month. In Hebrew, it's called Chavura, which means group, and she also has monthly women's meetings. So I'm so happy to welcome you, Michelle Biddle.
Oh, thank you so much, Eve. What a pleasure it is to be on your show. It's really a privilege.
Oh, you're going to make me cry. Thank you. How did you like my singing?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Thank you. You know, did you hear when I went up to the higher notes, I could hardly reach them. You know, some days I'm not as good, but it's Hebrew, right? It sounds
yes,
like
but,
Hebrew.
And I love it. You sing it with, you know, in Israeli Hebrew, which is wonderful. I can't say R's the way you do.
That's what it is. It's so funny. You know, when we came to America, everybody, I was born in Jerusalem. We came when I was 14. And we did learn English in Israel. You know, it was part of the curriculum. The hardest thing I had was the I sound. You know, like a teacher, miss, M-I-S-S.
Oh,
I would go,
okay.
Miss.
And
sheep was sheep. But when I have to, I go back to Hebrew. But Michelle, I'm so blessed, really, to have you on the show. I could cry. You know, first, tell us about your parents. Tell us about your family. You know, you'd submitted questions, and I had looked at them, so I may or may not follow them. And then if you have anything else to add, please do. One of the questions you said was, how did your parents end up in Germany?
Yeah, well, that was really interesting. I was in Israel in 2007 and met a cousin that I'd never met before. She was in South Africa.
Wow.
And she said that the oral history of the Kaufman family is that we left Cordova, Spain in 1492 during the Inquisition.
I get goosebumps. You're kidding.
No.
May I interject here? I have to tell you something, what I just learned. You know, they were talking about rebuilding the mosque in where 9/11 building got torn down. Mm-hmm. And Jack Van Impe said they were going to call it the Cordova. And, you know, I know the city in Spain. And he said, you probably don't know why. You know why? It's because that's where the Muslim conquered the Christians. And it was their symbol that they will take over America as well. Can
wow.
you imagine? Mm. So you were really from the Spanish derivation, your family?
Yeah, it was amazing to learn that because there was a German historian whose conjecture was that we came from Spain.
Wow.
And then to meet this cousin who verified it was really amazing.
It is. And tell us the difference for people who don't know Jewish history. You thought you were Ashkenazim, and then you learned that you were Sephardim, right?
Well, no. I mean, everybody originally was Sephardim because they came from Israel in the Middle East and finally, you know, slowly migrated their way towards Europe.
Interesting.
So, it
wow.
was that didn't really come as a surprise because I know Ashkenazic Jewry is, you know, a recent development, not something that's really ancient. So.
Oh, I did not know that. Wow. So go ahead. So in 1492 is when the Inquisition was in Spain and Columbus discovered America.
Right.
You know? Yeah, go ahead.
So at that time, they migrated towards Germany. And then
yes.
there's a gap in our history until we get to the early 1700s
yes.
when my great-great-great-grandfather,
yes.
his name was Yaakov Isaac Kaufmann,
wow.
Moved to Mers in Germany because he was
yes.
invited by the Baron of Mers to be his advisor.
Was he an accountant or a lawyer, or do you know what he was?
I have no idea, but you know, the history also says that there were a number of Jewish people who were requested by various barons to be advisors.
That
was the case with our family as well.
And he's your father's great-great-great-grandfather on your father's side?
This actually is on my mother's side.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And then in Mers, they lived in Mers until Hitler came to power.
Oh, my.
Before Hitler came, they owned a department store called Die Brüder Kaufmann.
Yes.
And
which means Brothers Kaufmann, right?
Right, right.
Yes.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And when my grandmother got married, she got gifts galore. Obviously, they were very wealthy. And
yes.
one of the gifts she got was oriental carpets from the store there. And I still have those now in my possession. So they really are.
Oh, I get goosebumps all over me. And it made such top quality, right? Like you don't see that anymore nowadays.
Yeah.
Oh,
and back in those days, Jewish people put their money in rugs instead of real estate because...
Why? Yeah.
In case they were going to be evicted from some city or village, they'd at least have something to bring with them that had some value.
Well, you know, in Israel, we were taught that Jews could not own land in Europe, which is why they became the merchants and the money changers. I never heard about the carpet. Wow. In other words, they could take it with them when they left, right?
Right, right.
So go
yeah.
ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
So they were in Mers, and then my grandmother, when she married my grandfather, moved to Stuttgart, and my grandfather
yes.
was a dermatologist
yes.
in Stuttgart. And... of course, Hitler came to power, and, gosh,
yes.
I have stories on both my mother and my father's side, but on my mother's side,
yes.
After Kristallnacht, you know, there was a roundup of Jewish men to put
yes.
them in prison.
It means the breaking glass night, right? That's when they really hurt the Jews that night, right?
Right. And
yes.
I heard later, and my grandparents and my parents never told us any of these stories. They all
wow.
came...
Wow.
through friends of theirs or relatives of theirs who told us after they passed away.
You know
but,
why? They couldn't face the pain, and they thought if you didn't know, you wouldn't know how much
yeah.
pain they went through. My
yeah.
goodness. Go ahead, please. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So I actually learned from my aunt that my grandfather was forewarned by a policeman in Stuttgart to get
oh.
in bed and pretend he was sick, and if he did that, he wouldn't
yeah.
be taken away.
Oh, my.
And so he did just that, and they did not take him away.
Wow.
And then a few days later, they came looking for him again, but they'd been forewarned of this
yes.
roundup of Jewish men. And
yes.
so he hid in a trunk in a neighbor's home.
Yes.
And my uncle went from rooftop to rooftop to... a relative's home
yes.
where they had heard that they had already arrested the men in that house.
Oh.
And so they knew that they wouldn't be going back there, and so he hid in that house.
Oh, Mike, was that on your father's side or your mother's side?
It's my mother's side.
Your mother's side. They really lived through the Holocaust, didn't they? Oh, my God.
Well,
people, yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, they got out, though, which was amazing, in August of 1939.
Wow.
So they got out just before the war broke out.
And they came to America straight away, or where did they go?
Yeah, they came to the United States. In the interim, my uncle was sent to England, and he stayed with a family there, and he tells a story that he slept in the barn with the animals until my grandparents eventually got out and met him in England.
Oh, my.
And he didn't go to the United States with them directly. He actually served in the British Army.
Wow.
And then after the war was over, came to the United States and joined his family.
You know, Michelle, some of the things I've read over the years, you know, some in novels, but, you know, give you facts, that the women in Germany, those who knew who were forewarned, like you say, they would know to go to England, they would put their diamonds and jewelry in the lining of the fur coats. You know, then they didn't have all these checkpoints, and that's how they were able to put it in England, put it in a safety deposit box. So if anybody from their family survived, they would be able to start fresh in England. So you really lived what the majority of the people who survived went through.
Yeah, but my grandparents were not able to take a single thing out of the country with them.
Oh,
my mother told this story. This is the one story she told me is they took the train from Stuttgart to Switzerland. At the border, the train was stopped, and they were the only family that was taken off the train. And they went through absolutely everything that they had in their possession looking for gold or silver or jewelry or money. And they didn't have anything. And they were so afraid at that point that, you know, that was the end. But then they were allowed back on the train, or they were allowed to leave.
You know what keeps going through my mind as you're talking? God had to preserve them and protect them so you would be born, so you could do the work you're doing. And was the same true of your father's family, or have you heard any other stories about them?
Well, my father's family was in Berlin,
and my
grandmother was a concert pianist.
Wow.
And my grandfather owned a office supply business.
No kidding. See, they became the business people. They had to be to survive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So how did
they
get out?
They were very wealthy. They were doing really well. And then they were trying to get out of the country. And then Kristallnacht came, and there was a roundup again in Berlin. And my grandfather hid in the attic of his house.
Oh, my goodness.
And when they came to arrest him, my grandmother answered the door and said, "Why are you here? You've already taken him away."
Oh, smart.
And they believed her? Yes.
They only took men at the time? They left the women alone?
Yes, they were only rounding up men at the time.
And, do we know why? Do we know why that happened?
No, I can't. I really don't know, but I know it was men until the Holocaust started, the war started.
Maybe to get them out because they would be more powerful to protect their families, you know? Yeah.
I'm not an expert on Holocaust history, so there are a lot of things I don't know about it.
Yes.
The only thing I really know is what my family went through.
Yes.
Because, I hate to say it, I've been loath to really study history of the Holocaust because of what my family went through.
Exactly. It's too painful. I know.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want to open up. But I just wondered if you knew, you know. So go ahead. So they left him behind then? They didn't bother him anymore after that?
Yes, they left him behind. And then a few months later, my grandfather sent my aunt and my father out of Germany on, like, one of the last Kinder transports.
They had children?
Out of Germany.
They had children transports?
Yes,
I didn't know
trainloads of children that were sent out by the Jewish agency. By 1938, nobody could leave Germany, and so then the Jewish agency petitioned countries around the world to see if any would take the children.
Yes.
And one of the only countries to take children was England.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable. You know, I'm crying because how many other children were killed, you know, by the Nazis later on? So how lucky that your family was able to get out. Again, I see God's hand on your family because of what you have to do. So go ahead. So your how was your father a little boy at the time, or do you know how old he was?
He was 13 years old,
wow.
And we had a cousin in England. His name was Sir Raphael Puck.
Oh, who, sir. A lord? Yes.
Yes,
wow.
Uh-huh. And his son who helped them, and my father went to a Quaker boarding school in Chislehurst, London, England, right outside of London, and my aunt went to a college where she learned secretarial skills.
Wow.
And eventually, and during this time, my grandparents were frantically looking for a sponsor so that they could go to the United States.
Oh.
And
yes.
Because back in those days, you couldn't immigrate to the U.S. unless you had somebody to sponsor your immigration.
Yes, I remember that when I practiced law, I had to find those people. You know, people couldn't just come here just because they wanted to.
Right.
Yes. So did they find?
Mm-hmm. Well, they had to have a large sum of money. It was like something like $5,000 had to be put in a bank account.
Wow.
To assure a family wouldn't go on welfare. And
yes.
Back in those days, the average living wage was $1,200 a year.
Wow.
So that was a lot of money.
You know, Michelle, you really need to write a book about your family's history. People need to hear directly from those who experienced what went on and what was required,
mm-hmm.
and to understand why it was so special that they came
mm-hmm.
here. So go ahead. So what happened?
So finally, my grandmother's brother, who was living in Amsterdam, put up $5,000 so they could go to the United States.
Oh.
They had a cousin there who sponsored them with that money.
Unbelievable. Wow.
So they went in 1940. They made their way over to New York. And
yes.
Both sets of families settled on the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
How funny. Is that how your parents met?
They actually met at B'nai B'rith meeting in New York City, yeah.
I love it.
Uh-huh.
Yes, oh my. You know, let's translate for people who don't know Hebrew. B'nai B'rith is a very known organization in the United States. It means the Sons of the Covenant. So, and it's a Jewish organization.
Yeah, and they had meetings for single Jewish men and women back in those days, and that's how they met.
Oh, how cute. So is that why you ended up being born in New York and living there for a while?
Exactly. That's why I was born in New York. You know,
yes.
Doing research, I didn't realize that the Upper West Side of Manhattan was the second largest Jewish community in the United States back in the 1940s.
Wow.
So it's not surprising that that's where they ended up.
Yes. And did your father start to work right away, or did he study anything, or what did he end up doing?
Well, he went to the Foods Trade Vocational High School, where he learned to be a baker.
Wow.
And
wow.
My mother, you know, went to Washington Heights High School, and then from there she went to Hunter College.
And what did she study when she was there?
She studied psychology, and then when she graduated, she worked for a doctor in an office. You know, back in those days, there weren't that many opportunities for women. But
exactly. It was lucky she found a job. I know.
Right.
I'm looking at the clock. We may have to go to a commercial in a minute. But what I would like to do, if we just start on it, is to explain to people what it means to be a Reformed Jew or an Orthodox or conservative. Because your family was Reformed Jews, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. And I grew up in one of two Reformed synagogues in Manhattan that were founded by German Jewish Holocaust survivors.
Wow. You know, it's interesting. Most of the German Jews were Reformed, you know, and because I think they were so intelligent, they couldn't just take religion on its face value. They had to understand it and, you know, give reason for why they believed as they did. Do you think that's the case? Because, you know, in Israel, there was no distinction. We were all Orthodox Jews. You know, the women sat separately from the men. In my family, they were very Orthodox. You know, I mean, my grandparents both. We need to go to a commercial, so we'll be back, everybody, to continue this wonderful story. Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, known also as Cohen Sternlight. I'm so glad to be on BBFsRadio.com every other Saturday, like this Saturday, June 2nd. I have a website, www.90210holocaust.com. That's HOLOCAUST.com. The story of my parents' murder in Beverly Hills by my brother and sister and the theft of their millions. I've written a couple of books, but one of them is available on the website as an e-book, Diary of Sober Faith in Action. Also, I am a prophet, I am a seer, and I am a healer, and if people are interested, I can set up appointments to help people for a fee, and it will depend on what's involved and what has to be done. And to reach me, you can reach me by my email, eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J, U, D like David, G like George, E like elephant, E like elephant, V for victory, E like elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing what else you would like to hear on the show and what help you might need. Also, legally, especially for people who are unemployed, I can help. I cannot give specific advice, but I can help. Maybe also political issues and other legal issues and spiritual issues. Thank you. Look forward to hearing from you. Thank you. Hello, everybody. We're back again to hear Michelle's wonderful story. And Michelle, so why don't you please tell the people what the difference is between reform, conservative, and Orthodox Jewry, if you can.
Yeah, well, Reform Judaism started in Germany during the 1800s and basically wanted to reform Orthodox practice and make people fit into society better.
That's why. Oh, I did not know that. Go ahead, please. I'm sorry.
Yes, and so the restrictions, for example, Shabbat observance, were some of them were lifted, that people worked on Shabbat and were able to light lights and became basically men and women of the world, became much more worldly and able to fit in with society at large. And then the liturgy was done in German instead of in Hebrew. And,
really? I did not know that. Wow. Yeah, go
ahead,
then,
please. Organs were put into synagogues because in Orthodox synagogues you never have any music because that's in memory of the destruction of the temple. And pews were installed, and so it looked more like a church.
Yes.
And so it came out of Germany.
You know something, when we came to America, we first lived in Charleston, South Carolina, and I didn't know anything, and they said, let's go to temple, and that's exactly what I saw, the organ and the pews looking like a church, and I thought, my God, what is this? I had no idea that that was, because the Orthodox would be with the long beards and the sideburns and the funny clothing, right?
Right, exactly, and so if you reform, you didn't have to have long sideburns and your dress became like Western dress, and you're able to fit in better.
Yes. That's why the Jews never believed that Hitler would hurt them, because they were Germans first, you know? Why would he hurt those German citizens?
Right, exactly.
So go ahead. So what caused you to come to know Yeshua or Jesus in your life?
Well, growing up, I was very involved in our synagogue, and I was president of our youth group, and I was confirmed. I did not have a bat mitzvah because they were not available at that time for women.
Really?
And
Mm-hmm.
And traveled to Israel, and I was a member of an Israeli dance troupe. My father was on the board of trustees of the synagogue, and so one summer when I was in Jewish summer camp, I remember us being in a circle, and we sang a song from the Psalms that night before we went to bed. It was, I lift up my eyes unto the mountains.
Yes.
From whence will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth.
Yes.
And I remember looking up into the sky and thinking to myself, there must be a God out there, but God, who are you? What are you? I don't know who you are. What are you? Are you force? Are you a spirit?
Wow.
And that was the first time I ever thought about God. I was 15 years old, and my parents were both agnostics because of what they went through. And so I just never thought about God, and that was my first thoughts about him. And then fast forward to college.
Yes.
And I had a roommate who went to church every Sunday.
Oh, my.
And I thought she was the strangest woman I ever met, because who goes to church without your parents telling you to do it, you know?
Why would she want to, right?
Exactly.
How funny.
And it's not that I didn't enjoy going to synagogue. I loved going to synagogue because I saw all my friends there, you know.
For that reason, right, socially.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
This was a strange woman, and she never said anything to me about what she believed, but just the fact that she went to church every Sunday convicted me that I didn't know anything about the Bible, and I ought to find out, because here I am at the university, we're studying all kinds of subjects, I should at least know something about the Bible.
Why did you think about the Bible? What made you concentrate on that?
Just the fact that she went to church every Sunday.
And she took a Bible with her?
I guess she must have taken a Bible with her.
Yes.
I just looking back on it, it's just the Spirit of God, I believe, moving upon me and stirring me to become interested in spiritual things.
Yes, exactly.
So I took a course in the Bible, and it was a big disappointment because they treated it as a literary piece and not as a spiritual roadmap.
Yes.
So my thoughts about God came and went.
And, I love that. Yes.
And then I transferred from the State University into Cornell University when I was a junior in college.
Yes.
And my senior year, I became really frantic because I had no idea what the future was going to hold for me, because every goal that I'd set for myself I'd already met, and one of my big goals was to go to Cornell because I just loved the university, and we used to visit up there every Christmas because my father had a best friend who was the manager of the hotel school up there.
Oh, by the way, what did you study, Michelle? What was your major?
I studied social work.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Yeah, so all my dreams had come true, and now the future was looming out there, and it's going, oh, my God, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? And
yes.
I started searching for meaning, what was my life, what was my life meant for?
Yes.
And so I started studying all of these religions.
How interesting.
And I bought book after book. I bought a book on Hinduism, Buddhism, Confucianism, Zoroastrianism, any ism that was out there I started to study.
Yes, I love it.
And as I tried to put these isms into practice in my life, they were so useless. They were not practical at all, I felt.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, go ahead.
And while I was going through this search, one of my Jewish friends told me about this book that he had read called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey.
Are you kidding? That was one of the books I had to read. I can't believe it. When I was searching. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not surprised at all to hear that.
Yes.
Because that book reached so many young Jewish people back then. It was really
amazing. Especially the Jews. Why do you think?
Because he was talking about the Jewish prophets and what the Jewish prophets had to say about the Messiah.
Exactly. But you know what I said when I read it? Yes, but not for me, because I'm from Jerusalem. No, and a Cohen. You know, my last name was Cohen then. No way, no how. So go ahead. That's so funny.
Well, I didn't have that reaction, because when I read that book, I learned that Jesus was Jewish.
Oh, you didn't know
that. And up to that point, I thought he was Catholic.
Isn't that typical Jewish knowledge, the way?
I didn't know from him from nothing. Whoever talked about Jesus back in those days? Nobody did.
Nobody did, exactly. Exactly right. Wow.
And I grew up in an Italian Catholic neighborhood, and all of my friends worshipped Jesus, and there was a statue of Jesus in a Catholic cemetery, and yes, I thought it was Catholic.
Of course. That is so funny. Go ahead, Michelle.
But then I learned he was Jewish, and not only was he Jewish, he was a descendant of King David, and you can't get more Jewish than that in my book.
Exactly. And really was a rabbi, too, you know. Unbelievable. Yes, go
and
ahead.
And so, you know, it just changed my view of everything. And And then I read a passage in this book, and I want to read it to you because it had such a strong impact on my beliefs. And it
said, is it from the same book by Hal Lindsey?
It was, yes, it was taken from the book by Hal Lindsey, but it's taken directly from the scriptures. It's from the book of Revelation.
Go ahead, please. Yes.
And in the book of Revelation, it says, "And I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads.
Wow.
And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months.
Wow.
Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them."
Oh, wow. Wow.
Well, when I read that passage, the only way that I could interpret it was literally.
Yes.
That literally, in the future, there was coming a time when people would be tormented so horribly that all they'd want to do is die.
Yes.
And that this torment would come to people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads.
Wow. What did you understand that to
anybody,
be?
Without anybody telling me, I realized that I was one of those people that didn't have the seal of God on my forehead.
How did you know that, and what did you think it meant?
I had no idea what it meant, but I just knew that my life wasn't right with God.
Oh, my God. I get goosebumps all over me. Isn't that something? You know, God has a way to deal so miraculously with the Jewish people, don't you think?
With each one of us individually, because we each have our own stories to tell.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
We all come to this knowledge,
you
know, different paths, different ways, but, you know, it leads to the same thing.
Oh, definitely. But he, like you say, he deals with us individually, but I've noticed that Jewish believers always have like a more miraculous way to get saved because, you know, we're the stiff-necked people, right? So go ahead. So what happened after you read that and realized?
Well, after I read that, you know, and consider that prior to that, I didn't know whether there was a God or not.
Yes.
And when I read this, I prayed for the first time, and I said, God, I don't know whether to believe what this man is writing in this book. Please show me what's the truth.
The fact that
you're the only one who knows the truth. I don't. Please show me.
Wow. And the fact that you even addressed him before you knew that he existed. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
And just a couple of days later, after I prayed that prayer, I started meeting all these people who were born-again Christians.
I love it. God, right? He sends the laborers into our harvest, doesn't he? Yes, go ahead.
And among them was a foreign student by the name of Mala, who was from Malaysia.
Yeah.
And I met her a couple days later in the library, and within the space of a month, we became best friends.
Wow.
She became the best friend I ever had.
Yes.
And God knew my heart, because ever since I was a little girl, I always wanted to have a girlfriend who was like a sister.
Oh, how funny. Right. And
she became...
like your sister. Oh.
Yeah, she became like my sister. And
yes.
A few weeks later, we went to a luncheon.
Yes.
And a strange woman came and sat with us at that luncheon table, and after a little while, she started talking about Jesus.
Wow.
And I was about to throw them both under the bus and scream and yell at them.
Yes.
How can you believe in this? It's nonsense and all that kind of stuff.
I love it. Go ahead, please.
And then I looked at the expression on my best friend's face, who never said anything to me about what she believed.
She was already a Christian. Wow.
I had no idea.
Yes.
And so the expression on her face said she was agreeing with what this woman was saying, and I was about to yell at her.
Yes.
When I heard a still, small voice say, listen to her, she loves you, she's your best friend.
Oh my, I got goosebumps all over me. Wow. And you had no idea who it was, right?
I just knew I heard this voice, you know,
yes.
It wasn't a voice, it was just something
like
inside of me, yes.
Yeah. A thought that you know is not your own, that's to me one of
right.
the indication when it's from God. Go ahead.
Right.
Yes.
And she told me her story, and she
yes.
was from a Hindu family in Malaysia.
Wow. Wow.
And when she was 14, her aunt came to her and told her that she had embraced Jesus as the one true God and encouraged Mala to do the same. And at 14,
she
recognized Jesus as God.
Did you ask her, was he a Buddhist then? Did you tell her you saw Jesus was Catholic, but was he then a Buddhist?
I didn't say anything during that conversation. All I did was
yeah.
listen. I was
amazing.
Speechless, needless to say.
Yes, wow.
But
and
then,
I call God the master setup. You know, we think we have free will and free choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he sets up circumstances that somehow or another we end
yes.
up doing what he wants to do. Go ahead, please.
Yes.
yes.
And
yes.
so then they both told me that I needed to have Jesus in my life, and they led me in a very short prayer.
And you went along with it?
I prayed it after them, and I invited the Messiah to come into my life.
Yes.
And as soon as I did that, I became enveloped in a cloud of peace.
Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, also known as Cohen and Sternlight. I'm a retired judge. I'm so happy to have the show on BBSRadio.com, Station 1, on alternate Saturdays. My website is www.90210holocaust.com. That's HOLOCAUST.com. The story of my parents' murders in Beverly Hills by my brother and sister, and the theft of their millions but with the help of corrupt doctors, lawyers, and judges, and taking place on a huge scale in our country. Also, I am a prophet, a seer, a healer, a seeing to the body, the past, the future, and would be able to help with counseling. To contact me for that would be at my email, eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J U, D like David, G for George, E for elephant, E for elephant, V for victory, E for elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
Okay, we're back. So you prayed the prayer to accept Jesus in your life with your friend?
Yes, and I became instantly enveloped in the cloud of peace.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
All of my fears disappeared, all my concerns for the future. I wasn't concerned about anything because I'd met the Prince of Peace.
Yes, wow. But you knew it intuitively. See, God let you know it intuitively.
I experienced God's presence.
Yes.
You know?
Wow.
You know, the only place in the Tanakh where it really speaks about God's presence coming down was when Solomon dedicated the temple.
The Shekinah glory, exactly.
Yeah, and
exactly.
I experienced his presence. And,
yes.
You know, Jewish people today say Jesus
yeah.
can't be the Messiah because he didn't bring political peace. But
okay.
He may not have brought political peace, but he
yes.
brings peace to our hearts.
To our spirit, exactly. And the point
into
is,
our minds.
And remember, he said he came to create a problem between people, not to bring that kind of peace. When his kingdom is here, then we'll have peace.
Right.
So your parents did not mind? Did you tell them that you accepted Jesus in your life?
Well, I have to tell you this other story because this was amazing. That
yes.
day, I went back to the campus. I was a member of the Cornell Choir.
Yes.
And we had been scheduled to give a concert about 3 times, and they
yes.
kept canceling it, rescheduling it.
Yes.
And that night I got the news that we were going to finally give the concert that night.
Yes.
And that night I got to sing Handel's Messiah.
And you know, that's what I was going to ask you when you first came on the line. I was going to ask you if you sing because you have such a beautiful voice, and hear you singing the Messiah song. Oh my God, how did that feel?
Well, you know, prior to that, I had no idea what I was singing. It didn't make any sense to me. But all of a sudden, it was like,
yes.
Oh my gosh, this is about the Messiah. You know.
I do know. You know,
all I can say is my spiritual eyes were opened.
I was just going to say that he does put a veil on our eyes, you know, when we don't know him. And
yes.
We really can't understand it unless the veil is removed.
Exactly.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
And, you know, one of the passages in Handel's Messiah is, "For unto us a child is born,
yes.
Unto us a son is given."
Yes.
"And the government shall be upon his shoulders."
Emmanuel, exactly.
"And this
exactly.
is the name by which he shall be called, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace."
Yes.
And
wow.
I had just met the Prince of Peace.
So you didn't have to be convinced anymore.
No.
Isn't
amazing.
That amazing? Isn't
yeah.
That is so amazing, you know? So did you tell your parents? I mean, were you staying at the college at the time, or were you
yeah,
living
well,
at home?
Yeah, well, that was December of 1974, and so I didn't really return home until that following summer.
Wow.
And I didn't say anything to my parents right away.
Yes.
And
yes.
I remember when we went back to when I went back to synagogue for the first time as a believer.
Yes.
I just was filled with awe.
Yes.
By
yes.
the siddur.
Yes.
And just by being back in synagogue, because it just had meaning for me for the first time in my life.
Exactly what I felt. Isn't that funny? You read the words before you say, okay, 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 but now they really do mean something. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And by 80% of the siddur is taken directly from the scriptures.
Exactly. That's what people don't understand. We are part of our being as a Jew is the Bible, you know, at least
exactly.
the Old Testament, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, in Israel, we had to learn the Tanakh, you know, the Torah, the first
mm-hmm.
part, and then you get it as a story. By the time you get to the third grade, you get the actual Bible subject matter, and you have to memorize. And then when
mm-hmm.
you get to the higher levels, you get all the interpretations, you know, Rashi and other interpretations. So it becomes part of your being, you know. But go ahead. So did you ever tell your parents how you felt?
So, yes, yeah, so eventually I told them how I felt, and as they say, all hell broke loose.
Oh, you too, huh?
Oh, it was horrible, absolutely
uh-huh.
horrible. It was the worst time in my life.
Yes, yes.
And they took me to the rabbi.
Yes.
And, yeah, we had a sit-down talk with the rabbi.
To try and take it off of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what did he say?
And my parents actually got the shock of their lives because
yes.
the rabbi said, well, you know, we don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but, you know, it's really not a bad thing that your daughter believes in God now.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So, you know, I don't want you to cut your story short, but I do want to tell people again that you are available to speak in Los Angeles area. And if people, they can contact you at michelleb@cjsm.org or at 1-800-497-8766. And Michelle, I'm looking at the time, which is why I'm sort of rushing it a little bit. Tell the people how your family started the first Messianic congregation in New Orleans.
Oh, sure. Well, after I came to know the Messiah, I went to seminary.
Wow.
And then when I graduated from seminary, I came on staff with CJF Ministries, and our family started the first Messianic Jewish congregation in New Orleans.
Wow. Wow.
Because as a believer in Yeshua, that's the Hebrew way to say Jesus, I never felt like I had to become anything else but Jewish. I mean, I am
sure.
Jewish, so why
give it up?
Take on the culture and the traditions of Gentiles? That my
right.
culture is from God.
Right.
And so we established the first Messianic congregation, and
wow.
it was a tremendous blessing.
Wow.
My son was bar mitzvahed at the congregation, and
wow.
My daughter was bat mitzvahed, but that was before we had the congregation.
No kidding. And she's a lawyer in Los Angeles now, right?
Yes,
and,
uh-huh.
And her husband
and
has
we just list? We just went to the brit of our grandson
Ooh,
in Los Angeles in August.
No kidding. I know. He's
yeah.
what, 3 months old now?
Approximately? About, yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. Oh, and I know he's extremely intelligent. And I wish you could talk about your daughter, how intelligent she is, as is her mommy. And I feel, especially from your dad, you know, that intelligence, really high, high intelligence, comes through him. And, you know, it's so interesting. You know, have you noticed, well, you know, the Jews have always been the people, I'm a sefer, you know, the people of the book. You know, they would always study a lot. And, you know, the population of Jewish people is only about 1.5% of the world. But I think the percentage of lawyers and doctors is like, what, 20 or 30% in any country, really, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, Michelle. So you said you went to Fuller Seminary? Is that where you went?
Yes, I did.
Because I audited a class there with Pastor Wagner, Dr. Wagner, and the head of the Vineyard Fellowship at the time, Wimber. Have you ever heard of him?
Oh, of course. I took a class with Dr. Wagner. Yeah.
I wonder if you were at the same class that I was, because I was, say, February 7, 74, same year as you. Amazing. But please tell us what you teach, like, about the Jewish holidays and why they're important to even Christian believers and why you feel the Judeo-Christian background is so important for them to know about.
Well, you know, I just I like to teach on the Jewish background of the scriptures just because it enriches your understanding of the scriptures so much
yeah.
more than if you don't have that understanding.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are a lot of people that go around saying, well, if you're a Gentile, then you should observe the feasts of the Lord. But yeah. I don't believe that at all because the only holiday that believers are going to have to celebrate when
yes.
Yeshua comes back is Sukkot, the Feast of yes. Tabernacles.
Why? Why is that, by the way?
Well, you know, it says in the scriptures that the judgment that will come upon the people is that there will be no rain if they don't observe this feast.
Right.
And, of course, Sukkot is the time when we pray for rain for the spring, summer, and winter crops.
And I also thought it was to symbolize or remember the exit from Egypt, you know,
from
the
Egypt,
exodus from
yes,
right. And what about the Passover? Because Jesus was a Jew who celebrated all those holidays, and wasn't the Last Supper actually the Seder? You know, the first night of the Passover.
Exactly, but that isn't prescribed in the scriptures for the millennium. It's just Sukkot.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
I did not. And see, that's the kind of thing that you can teach, right? When you go and speak in different churches,
yes,
and people I did not know that, honestly. So, in other words, is a remembrance to pray for the rain? Is that why Jesus?
Well,
would have
you know, rain is also a symbol of the Spirit of God.
Right. Right.
And there was this ceremony in the temple during the Second Temple period called the Ceremony of the Water Drawing.
Oh,
and
yes.
The Kohen Gadol, the high priest, had to take a pitcher of water and go down to the pool of Siloam and then come back up and pour the water onto the altar of sacrifice.
Wow.
And as he did that, the people cried out, O Lord, we beseech thee, O Lord, send prosperity.
Yes.
So they were praying for rain.
Wow.
But not only were they praying for rain, physical rain, but they're also crying out for spiritual rain.
Yes.
Because they were familiar with the prophecy of Joel that said, in the last day I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Yes.
And so it's a time crying out for the physical and spiritual rain of God.
I honestly had no idea. Isn't that something? Because I had all my children bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah, you know, and in Israel we did have bat mitzvah at the time. So we had, but you didn't have a temple service. You have like a big party, you know, for the kids. And to me, when I accepted Jesus in my life, I felt that I was freed of having to follow any holiday, you know, even though I would light candles Friday night, you know, for the Shabbat, you know, for the Saturday. And do you know what else, by the way, just to interject, that I've learned over the years? Do you know that hundreds of thousands of Mexicans who are Catholic, you know, raised Catholic, were mm-hmm. found actually to be Marrano Jews from Spain. And they wondered what. Did you know that?
Oh, yes, I know. I've met many of them, yes.
Unbelievable. And,
unbelievable, yeah.
They wondered why their Catholic grandmother would put, you know, tablecloth on Friday night and light the candles. They didn't know, you know.
Yeah.
So what do you know about what's going to happen? Because some things are going to happen in the United States. Do you have any idea about that, about persecution or anything like that?
Well, you know, I'm not a seer. I'm not a prophet, so I don't really know those things, but I will never forget that one of the synagogue services that I went to in New Orleans, at a local synagogue, the rabbi was saying that the next large wave of persecution is eventually going to be among American Jews.
How interesting.
And eventually there's going to be an aliyah of American Jews to Israel.
To Israel. When did he say that? Because I'll tell you why.
I was at that service in 1980.
The Lord showed me 30 to 35 years ago, just like that, that there would be a Holocaust right here in the United States. And my mother would say, oh, leave me alone, you know. I said, Mommy, you hope for the best, but you prepare for the worst. And many of the friends were Holocaust survivors from Germany, by the way. Mm-hmm. And about 18 years ago, they said to me, Eve, we're seeing here now exactly what we saw in Nazi Germany before we were taken to the camps.
Yeah.
Isn't that, so not to put fear into people, just to be aware, because I know part of my job is to help lead people and their property to safety. And I said to God, with a wheelchair, and it has to be, you know, energized after 15 miles, so what am I going to do, lead from behind? You know, as they say in politics now. But Michelle, is there anything else that you would like to add? We have a few minutes. I'd like to give it your contact information again. And again, people can contact you through cjfm.org. And from the little I read about it, the gentleman who started that organization was a Jew. His name was Health. Am I saying it correctly?
Yes, Dr. Charles Health. He was from an Orthodox Jewish family from San Antonio, Texas.
Yes, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He started the organization as a radio broadcast, and it's
really
grown from there.
And you're all over the country or all over the world, or how would you describe?
Yeah, we broadcast all over the world. You can go to our website at cjfm.org and just hit the radio tab, and you can listen to our broadcast on the Internet and also get podcasts on your cell phone.
And that's how people can get in touch with you as well, right, if they go on the Internet. And let me just repeat again that Michelle would love to go to Los Angeles because then she can see her little grandson, right? And he's blessed, by the way. And it's, again, to contact Michelle, it's Michelle B, it's M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E-B at C-J-F like Frank, M like Mary, .org, or her phone number is 1-800-497-8766. That's 1-800-497-8766. Michelle, I cannot tell you what a blessing your story is to me, and I pray to all who are listening to the show. And please say whatever else you'd like to say if you have a blessing to give to the people. What else would you like to add?
Well, I'd just like to add that I found a purpose for my life.
Yes.
And the purpose for my life is to tell others about the peace that you can have in Jesus the Messiah.
Yes.
And as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing more important than eternal life.
Yes.
Because eternal life lasts forever and ever and ever.
Right.
And I feel the most important thing that I can do is to tell people about the Jewish Messiah so that they can inherit eternal life and be in God's presence for eternity.
And
to me, there's nothing
add,
more important than that.
He's coming back in my lifetime, Michelle, in my lifetime. Can you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
That means the return is at hand. And I saw the New Jerusalem so many years ago, and huge, like a huge spaceship, like an island size. You know, in Revelation 19 says, it gives the sizes, apparently being about 15 miles, with all these different colors around it. And there were electromagnetic waves under it, you know, like sine waves.
Mm-hmm.
And the understanding was people either got up higher in the spirit or they would be killed. And a couple of months later, I saw it much closer. The waves came to a point on each side. And an engineer friend said the amplitude increased, and then people would die if they don't find God in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So just to confirm what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know how to thank you enough. You have
no idea.
Oh,
I don't know how to thank you enough, Eve.
Oh.
It was such a pleasure to be on this program.
It's a pleasure for me because the most important thing in our lives, as you say, is to know Yeshua, to know Jesus in our lives. And I don't care who we are, where we come from, what we've done, what happened to our families. He is personal to each and every one of us. And once we know him, right, Michelle, we can never give him up. We just can't. Mm-hmm. I cannot live without him. And I know that's true for you.
Yeah.
God bless you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Eve.
And,
thank you so much.
And I've told churches in Los Angeles about you, so I'm praying that they will contact you. And I'll continue to let them know.
That would be wonderful.
In Jesus' name. In Yeshua's name. God bless you and your wonderful family and your ministry. In Jesus' mighty name. Hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom 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 aleichem, hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom aleichem, hevenu shalom 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 aleichem. Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.